Okay, thank you very much everybody for coming. We'll kick off now. I'll introduce Archbishop Vincent Nichols, the President of the Bishops' Conference, and Father Marcus Stock, who's the General Secretary, for the launch of what we're calling the Pope in the UK booklet. That's just shorthand, and it goes with a style that this is supposed to be accessible, easy to read, and self-explanatory. It does what it says on the cover. The visit of Pope Benedict XVI, United Kingdom. So, over to the Archbishop to introduce it. There will be the opportunity for questions afterwards, ideally on the booklet itself.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming. At the beginning, I'd just like to kind of bring you up to date or set the scene on the practical arrangements for the visit, and then we'll leave that to one side and get on with the booklet, which really is about the content and the meaning of the visit, which is really very essential. In terms of our practical arrangements, a few dates are worth having in mind. One would be the 25th of May, when in the Queen's speech, the Queen announced the visit of Pope Benedict, making it unambiguously clear that this is a state visit. The second date to have in mind would be the 7th of June, when Lord Patton was appointed to lead the government's preparations for the visit as the personal representative of the Prime Minister and to liaise with the Church in these arrangements. And that has been a very important date for us because since then we've had a clear line of contact with the government, which has a decisive quality about it. The third important date to remember is that the papal visit party, the group of people in the Holy See charged with making the preparations for this visit, come next week. And so we will be in a position of much greater clarity by the time that party has been and seen all the preparations that we have. And the fourth thing I'd like to say is that from the time that this visit was announced, it was made clear that the practice of the Holy See is to give a detailed timetable of exactly what will happen 2 months before the visit. That's not a new expectation, it was always there from the announcement. That's the way it works. So we will have a detailed programme of events 2 months before the visit takes place. Now I'd like to speak to you about the booklet that we're launching this afternoon, because this draws attention and highlights the content and the meaning of this visit, which after all are the key things about it. What is absolutely essential is, what is the Pope here for? What does that mean? How can we invite people to understand the implications of these 3 days as fully as possible? Now, the first thing you'll notice about this booklet is the front cover. So this afternoon is the official launch of this logo for the papal visit. The logo was painted, designed by an artist called Brian Clark. And for those of you who want more about Brian Clark, there are some notes here and a book of his work. But what is, I think, interesting is that in designing this logo, Brian Clark was in fact inspired by the address of Pope Benedict XVI to artists in November 2009. If you remember, the Pope had he invited some of the leading artists from around the world to the Vatican, and Brian was one of that number. And one of the things that he brought away from that visit to Pope Benedict was the Pope's invitation that artists re-engage with faith, religious life, and with the Church, and use their art to try and convey something of the historic richness of faith and the lived experience of faith. So this logo, in a way, doesn't need too much explanation. The red, but I'm about to give you some. It obviously has a quality of a stained glass window in it, and it quite deliberately uses the deep blues and the reds that are characteristic of medieval stained glass. So it is, as it were, it's got a deep background to it, and in its configuration appeals to that sense that here in matters of faith we are dealing with things that are of a great historical richness and a cultural significance. Then in the centre there's the candle, which clearly represents the delicacy, the fragility of faith. But its central flame, you will see, is depicted quite subtly in the shape of a heart, to make the link visually with the words above, which, as you know, are words of Cardinal Newman, in fact his motto, "Heart speaks unto heart." And in a way, that fragility of faith and those words of Cardinal Newman and the implications, obviously, in the candle of the well-known hymn of Cardinal Newman, "Lead Kindly Light," suggest the tones of the visit, which are tones of invitation, of dialogue, of engagement with the realities of contemporary society and bringing to them the gentle light of faith. So I think that logo is full of meaning, and it is presented to you in public today for the first time. The booklet itself, behind the logo, has a very simple purpose. And the purpose is expressed in my preface in a phrase that is taken from the introduction. And if I just read you the paragraph that is on page 4. "It's not easy to convey the richness of the tradition of Catholic thought, and Catholicism can easily become defined in the public mind in the light of one or two current controversies. This is a gap in public knowledge that this pamphlet aims to address. Its intention is to make such knowledge about the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church available. It is necessarily limited. The subject could easily fill not just whole books, but whole libraries." So that's the intention. It's an invitation to those who maybe are a little bit puzzled, curious, or just feel ill-informed about the content, about the significance, about the resonance of this visit to the Holy Father, to delve into this. And of course, I hope for you, especially for journalists, this can be a resource now that you can use for the next few months in the work of preparation for the papal visit. The booklet covers a number of key topics, each of which is posed by way of a question. So it begins, for example, with why is the Pope meeting the Queen? So what is the relationship here that is symbolised in that moment when the Queen stands next to the Pope? It gives you something of the significance of the visit, but it also begins to reflect on the historic resonances of the whole relationship between this country, its monarchy, and the papacy. So then we move on to the question, well, what on earth has the Pope got to say about how our society works? What does he think he's coming here for? And there's the beginning, there's the introduction there to Catholic social teaching and to, as it were, the background, the tradition out of which the Pope will speak. And then we get, why are there different churches? So what is this quest of unity amidst diversity that we see within the body of the Christian churches? And how does that actually reflect on our own quest as a society to find a unity of life amidst great diversity? And then, why other faiths? Why would the Pope, as the leader of the Catholic Church, want to be meeting with people of other faiths? So again, there's an introduction that tries to get beyond the idea that other faiths are simply different and distant from us, to the principle that we engage with other faiths on a principled and methodical basis. And then we move a little bit wider and talk about the contribution that the Catholic Church makes, first of all, worldwide, and then secondly, in British society. And it, in very simple way, begins to convey the reality of Catholic life and how it expresses itself in service of the human family. And anyone reading these paragraphs will see that this is not a marginal contribution. That here the Pope comes representing the biggest single religious network in the world, representing at least a fifth of the world's population. So that when he is here, his visit to this country is a worldwide event, and it will be followed worldwide. And we shouldn't somehow simply scale it down to something that is touching 5 million Catholics in this country. And then we address the issue, what about child protection? Because that's been so much in the news at the moment. And then we talk about the educational agenda of the Pope's visit. What is the Catholic vision of education? And why are there Catholic colleges in this country and schools? And then we come to the pastoral highlight of the visit, which is the beatification of John Henry Newman. And you have a very clear synopsis of his life and of something of his resonance for people in this country. And then the last two chapters get a little bit more personal. So they, the next to last chapter is, how do I connect with God? That underneath all of these information which is being conveyed is a relationship. And this begins to suggest ways in which each of us understand how God is present and plays a part in our lives. And then finally, almost by way of a summary, the last question is, so, in the light of all of this, what is the Catholic Church for? What is its raison d'etre? And these short essays, I hope, will be very helpful in beginning to help people to explore in a preparatory way the content and the key messages of the visit of Pope Benedict to this country, to which we're looking forward so much. If I had to sum up the hope for this visit, and I believe a fundamental intention of the papacy of Pope Benedict XVI, it would be in this sentence. It is to show that faith in God is not a problem to be solved, but a gift to be rediscovered. And I think in many ways in our country, we have got ourselves in a bit of a cul-de-sac of thinking that faith in God is nothing other than a problem to be solved. Whereas I hope this visit will help all of us to just remember again that in fact it is a gift, and one that inspires and moves people to often their greatest achievements and their greatest generosity. So thank you for your attention, and now be very happy to take questions and comments, all in due measure.